Because we're talking about it's time to arise and build. Nehemiah chapter 2:18 says, I told them how the hand of my God had been favorable to me, and also about the king's words which he had spoken to me. And they said, let us arise and build. So they put their hands to the good work. Now, what you have to understand is, I'm going to get ahead of myself here, but what you have to understand is, God gave Nehemiah the vision to build. But this did not say Nehemiah built. See, the scripture says you're to write the vision and make it plain. Why do you write it and make it plain? So somebody else can run with it. So even though Nehemiah had the vision to build, it was the people that had to take ownership and run with the vision. It said, let us arise, and they put their hands to the good work. Say, that means me. Might want to say that again. Say, that means me. See, you have to put your hands to the work. You can't sit around and want to get a Facebook update later in the day about what took place in the ministry. You have to take it. And you can't sit around and say, well, I have nothing to offer. Do you have sweat in your body? Do you have muscles of some kind in your body? See, you've got to take ownership of the vision. So that's the first thing that we discussed last week. That vision is both individual and corporate. We also said that building begins with a burden. Let's see what else we said. We saw that not only did Nehemiah have a burden, but he fasted and prayed, and he actually repented on behalf of his people sins that he himself had not committed. So in order to begin to build, we have to begin to identify with the place the Lord has sent us. We cannot build within Bluefield and not identify with its people. Because the people that are going to feel what you build are the people in the community. So if you try to separate yourself from the people in the community, you will not build effectively. Because Jesus did not come to be different from, he came in the likeness of. It says he was numbered with the transgressors. And one of the keys to building is when we begin to get a passion and a heart for the city that we're in. And for its people. So then we can't despise prostitutes. And we can't despise drug addicts. Because we have lots of them. See, we're trying to build many times something that does not reflect our community. But the Lord placed us in the community to reach the people, which means the body will be an expression of the people. And if you despise the people, you cannot move into building. You have to begin to identify with the place that you're called to. It has to hurt you. If your wallet's filled, you have to begin to cry out for those who are in poverty. I'm trying to tell you something here. What's going on at Father's House International Church? Hopefully we begin to take the burden of the city. So he repented on behalf of his people. He came to identify with them. We found there's divine relationships to build. Can I tell you we're going to get $78,000 to pave a parking lot? We're going to get $78,000 to pave a parking lot. Because God put Nehemiah, he made him cupbearer of the king long before he ever got downloaded the plan to rebuild the wall in him. Relationships, connections. Somebody has the ability to bless you. Somebody has the ability to give you what you need to fulfill the mission. Don't share your vision with anybody. Share it with the right people. Don't become distracted. Sanballat and Tobias, they wanted to stand and they wanted to make fun, and they ridiculed the work on the wall. See, if you're going to build, you have to separate yourself from those that ridicule you. You can't listen to wrong voices. Also, we found this. It says we built the wall, and the whole wall was joined together, for the people had a mind to work. Destiny. Building is work. Nobody ever built anything sitting on the couch. They had a mind to work. And I began to show you last week how unity is the key to building. Because next to him and next to him and next to him was doing this and next to him was doing that. That's the picture of building. Now, as I began to be stirred, there was so much revelation that came forth last week that was not even planned. I mean, the Holy Spirit was just downloading revelation. So what I feel like the Lord has impressed upon me to do is go back and take each one of those things and really go into depth on each of those things, because we're talking about building. You've got to understand the principles of building. You've got to begin to get vision for what's going on here. So Nehemiah, the story, the passage in Nehemiah reveals keys to establishing destiny, whether personal or corporate. The principles that you find in the book of Nehemiah, which we laid out last week, if you're an individual, you will need those things to walk in destiny. If you are a corporate body, you will need those things to walk in destiny. Now, let me tell you a little secret. This is one of the things that we came to last week. We have an issue in the church because we actually often refer to the church as an entity of its own, as if it had some kind of a life of its own, or it was some kind of object or some kind of thing. Hello? Whether you realize it or not, in your mentality, when you say church, you're thinking a thing. But church is not a thing. You are the church. So you have no right, nor I have no right whatsoever to complain about the church, because when I do, I'm complaining about me. When you complain about what you don't like about your church, look in the mirror, because you are that church. And see that we've not walked in that revelation. So we think we can say, well, if my church would just do this, well, look in the mirror, baby. You are the church. The church is not some odd entity. It's people. So when you complain the next time, go look in the mirror, because it's you. Well, I sure wish they'd get that building down in Brush Fork done. It's you. And the Lord just began to download something. It was a very powerful revelation that I don't think people really get. You're the church. I can feel that revelation coming again. I mean, we literally speak of the church like it's some kind of object. But the church is an entity made up of individuals. So the church can never be any more effective than the individuals in that church. We can pray, we can fast. We can have 24-hour prayer and raise up a house of prayer here and have prayer 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But somebody has to realize, I am the church. Say, I am the church. This would be a good place for you to repent every time you've complained about your church. It's you, baby. Say, if it is to be, it's up to me. You mean I don't pay the preacher to do this? No. It's up to you. So the Lord began to stir in me I want to talk to you about vision. Because what has to happen is each individual has to get a vision of their own. Now I'm going to have to do some review of some things I've taught in the past to get to where I'm going. But you have to understand, one of the things we talked about last week is you don't understand your value. You think it's okay if you don't come to church.
Well, I don't do anything. I don't sing. I don't play music. Heck, I don't even scrub the toilets, so I'll just stay on the couch today and watch Charles Stanley. No, you don't understand your value. You are the church. If you're not here, the church is not here. You have to come to that revelation. And what I'm beginning to see is that we've not taught the people in the seats their value. You're missed. Something's missing from the body. Which one of your body parts are you willing to part with this morning? I'm waiting. I'm taking donations. Anybody got a little toe or a little finger they'd like to sacrifice? See, the scripture, and I'm going to show you here, taught us that we are a body. And if we are a body, I've never came to church and left my little toe home. My little toe's not on the couch. It might not want to be here today, but it's here because I'm here. And it understands that it's part of the body. And see, when you begin, I want revelation to come. I'm not going to skip past this. You don't think you're valuable. You're just as valuable as my little finger or my little toe to the body. If you're not here, there is nobody to take your place. Because you bring something into the atmosphere. You better hear that. There's more revelation. Out of your belly will flow rivers. If you're not here, your river is not flowing. See, there's an atmosphere in a house of worship like this that's amazing. You know why? You know why I've been yelling at people for years to get them to do what we do now? Because if you get all the rivers inside of the people in the seats flowing corporately together, you've got something that's powerful. But your river don't reach us on the couch watching Charles. You're a part of the body. I want you to get that revelation. It matters. And if you haven't found your place yet, would you open that for me? Oh, boy, that was tough. I told them to always open them, but I didn't think they listened. Apparently they do. Are you hearing me this morning? We're talking about arise and build. That means you. See, some people like to sit back and wait for you to build it, and then they'll come. I started a church for me and my wife and my family. Dear God in heaven, what a nut. And so many people come in when you got checkered tile on the floor, and you got five people, and you have one instrument. You got me and Tim. And they don't want to put their hand to the plow. But some of those same people will come back later on when that thing start rocking and rolling. I knew it back then. Well, where were you? Watching Charles. So when you're in the hospital, call Charles. Least you think I don't like Charles. Charles rocked my world this morning. You can call that brother a Baptist all you want to. I turned him on this morning. I happened to run across him and I was like, oh my gosh. The revelation coming from that man. He was talking about hearing God. When you get down on your knees and God speaks to you, sir, you better do that, because at the minute that you disobey, you're in sin. Hello? I'm telling you, stirred me all up. So I'm gonna have to connect some dots here. I'm not in a hurry. We didn't worship long. Number one model of the local house is supposed to be equipping. So I've got some ground to cover with you, because I got to go back and tie in some dots. Now let's read this right here. You have to first get this revelation. If you're going to build, if we're going to build, this is the revelation you have to get. So let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 12. Lengthy, but I'm going to read it. For even as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we're all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. Say that. Say the body is not one member, but many. If the foot says, because I am not a hand, this is what we do. If the foot says, because I am not a hand, I am not a part of the body, is it not for this reason any less a part of the body? Are you hearing that? Well, it doesn't matter if I go to church today or not. They won't miss me. because I'm not a hand, I'm not a foot. They won't miss me. Are you hearing this revelation? See how you begin. See, first of all, we're not here to build a church. We're here to take a region and a city for Jesus Christ. Completely different. Building a successful church is small potatoes. We don't want small. We don't want that. We want transformation of a region. We want schools set on fire. We want government set on fire. Hello. We want the economy of Bluefield to change. And so if that's the case, the revelation of you being part of the body has to come into that. Because something's missing unless you take your place. And your place is not your blessed assurance. It is not in the body. There is no part of your body doing nothing this morning. Well, then he's giving us the revelation that the church is the body. So if my physical body, there's nothing that doesn't serve a purpose, how can we possibly believe that there are people that are supposed to sit on pews without serving a purpose? You have believed that, sir. You have believed that, ma'am. The mentality is there. It's how you just came to do your duty today. And you feel so good about yourself because you showed up. Well, we like it when you show up. I've had people show up. And for many years, I've had people not show up. People showing up is much, much better. But that's not the goal. See, the goal is not, woo, we have 500 showing up now, but they're all going. They're all still thinking that the pastor has to come and pray for them when they're sick. Instead of raising up a whole team of people that go to hospitals and clean them out in the area. Somebody in here right now has the calling to go to hospitals and pray for people. But you've been taught that you have to have some kind of special enlightenment. That's a bad word right there. Don't use that word. I take it back on live stream. We're not New Age. Hello. Don't want to feed the cult status. All right. Are you hearing me? You've got to get this revelation. You matter. It's a body. Because I am not a hand, I am not part of the body. Is it not for this reason any less a part of the body? And if the ear says, because I'm not an eye, I'm not part of the body. I'm not Sean Boone. I don't see stuff, so it's not important that I go today. Is it not for any reason? Does that make it any less a part of the body? Now watch this. This is how we've actually built the church. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? Do you realize that's how we've been building the church? We've got one guy that's a pastor, and he runs everything. And he's actually not even called to do what he's doing. He's not called to build. He's not called to lay foundations. He's called to be married to the church, to the people. So if you can just imagine that now, you got to get that. All across Bluefield today, because there's not a plurality of leadership within the church, what you're coming into here is we have a plurality of leadership. Because one might have the grace of an eye. One might have the grace of an ear. But if you can just get in a picture with me, I want you to begin to picture churches around. We can count five or six right here. Well, what's actually going on then is we're either going, I want you to see now, right across the road here. You're going into a big ear. That's all it's there is, an ear. It's one big old ear. What if you came in here this morning and there was nothing up here but an ear? I'd go to another church, probably. Or what if there was nothing up here but a hand and you came in here and you're listening and there's just a hand going? You can bet if it's mine, it's probably going like this. You would know it was me if it went that way. Are you hearing me?
then how can you stay home? How can you not participate? Because if you don't show up, then something is missing. If they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, the head to the feet. It'll take me forever. I'll be preaching this for months. Do you understand what that just said? I have no need of you. Or again, the head to the feet. See, when you function in a particular realm in the body of Christ, you tend to flow everything through that function. So if you're a hand, feet get on your nerves. Because you're doing what feet do, what hands do. But feet people get on your nerves. And you want to make feet people be the hands. And they don't see like you do. They don't function like you do. They don't think like you. And you begin to surround yourself with people who are like you. But this body has over 5,000 parts and they're all completely different and it will not function without them. But the natural tendency for us is to want to hang. If you're a hand, you want to hang around hands. Well, you got the hand thing down. You need to go somewhere. You can have the most beautiful hands in the world. But if you don't connect it to some feet, you can't go to Walmart. Hello? I don't care how bad you hate going to Walmart. It's a necessity. Because you'll shrink down really fast if you don't go get some groceries. I hope you're hearing revelation. If you were all hands, you couldn't get to the grocery store. That means you've got a particular function in the body of Christ and you don't show up, that's not working today. And what people tend to do is assume that maybe another one will be there. There'll probably be another toe there today. I'll just lay back easy today. Somebody else can do what toes do. Maybe one of the little finger people will become a toe today. And see, that doesn't function well. The toe knows how to be a toe. The finger knows how to be a finger. And the body doesn't function fluently when we try to put people in their wrong place. We've got to have everybody functioning in their divine order. I'm telling you right now, there's some older people, 60 above, 50 and above in here, that you just think you're doing good because you come to church and God's got something for you to do. Why would you ever be content just to come to church? It's fun, but it ain't that fun. See, you've got to get it again. We've got to get out of this mentality of the church being an organization and a separate entity. You're the church. Where are you going today? Going to church? Now, how crazy is that? Are you hearing me? Don't you say I'm going to church today? That's total nonsense. That's like saying I'm going to myself today. No, you are the church. See, this is where evangelism comes in. We go on the job and tell people about Jesus and hope we can get them to come to church on Sunday. We just took the church to them. The Lord Jesus Christ just stepped into the building. Wherever I go, the church is there. When I go to Applebee's, He's there ready to heal the sick, cause the blind to see and the lame to walk. The church showed up, baby, I'm here. I don't need to take you somewhere, I'm it. If it is to be, it's up to me. Going to a church. See, if we're going to build, you got to get the revelation that you are the church. I don't find in the scripture where He just told evangelists to do the work of evangelists. He didn't say that. We all have that responsibility. But the reason we don't is we think about going to church instead of being the church. You are a body. It'll take me years to get through this. Now listen. I'm not going to get in a hurry. Listen to this. I hope you're starting to see what this scripture is really saying. Because here's another thing we tend to do. So the first thing we pull out of this scripture that we tend to do is say, well, I'm not a hand, so I'm not important, so I'll not participate. You got that. That's what this scripture is bringing out. You're no less a part of the body. You know, somebody gets to be the heel. I want you, let me cut your heel off and see how well you walk. Now, that was the first thing we pull out of this. Now, I want you to see something else in this. On the contrary, watch this now. On the contrary, it is much truer that members of the body, listen, I hear revelation. It is much truer somewhere. On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members which we deem less honorable, on those we bestow more honor. And our less presentable members become much more presentable, whereas our more presentable members have no need of it. Did you hear that? That's the second thing in this. Those things that are not important, doesn't seem important, are really the important parts. You better think about that. See, we've built the church in America around everything that's up here. We've built the church in America from the pulpit up. And everything's right here. That's not what that scripture said. It says there's more honor on the part that's not seen. Are you going to get this revelation? No, it's the unseemly parts that we can't do without. Are you hearing me? Now look at this. But if God has so composed the body, giving more honor to that member which lacked, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the care for one another, if we could get to this place then, if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. As the church crucified Jimmy Swaggart and Jim Baker, but you are Jimmy Swaggart and Jim Baker because they were connected to the body, baby. That mouth that you blab about somebody who fell in the ministry, baby, you just fell because it's part of the body. Your toe just got sick. I knew he was a loser. I knew not to trust him. Are you hearing? Jimmy Swaggart, you. Jim Baker, you. See, when we begin to get that revelation, we can talk about building. Because now we have a group of people who understand their value. If one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Baby, this is all for one and one for all. Are you going to show up? Or are you just going to take credit and say, that's where I go to church? When the blind see the lame walk and the deaf hear, you'll be posting on Facebook, that's my church. But when the dirt and the grime and the dust and everybody's in the trenches, will you be there? And so God has appointed these things in the church. So, 12:15, oh my. So I taught this a while back. I'm not going to go into detail, but I'm trying to get you to understand this revelation that this is a body. You can't just not function today because you don't feel good. Hello. If something in your body don't feel good, what do? You get medicine. Well, if something in your body don't feel good, well, you do. Stay home. But the medicine is here because the medicine is the Word of God. You don't stay home when you don't feel good. That's when you come to church because that's where the doctor is. Yeah.
Hello? It blows my mind. People have problems. You know the first thing they do? Stay away from church. They start to function on their own. Well, that's not the time to leave the body. You know what happens when blood's not flowing through your body? You know it. It cannot be flowing through one member, and you'll lose that member. You better stop them. Ponder on that a bit. Selah. So is anything flowing through you? You weren't created to be sedimentary. You'll die. What would happen to you? I'll give you $1 million if you can do this week. I'll write you a check. It won't clear the bank, but I'll write it. Here's your assignment for the week. I want you to eat every day. I want you to eat all you can for the next 5 days, but I do not want you to go to the bathroom. I want you to try it today. Can you do that? Then why are you doing it in church? How long have you been in church? 40 years? That's what you've been doing. Having somebody feed you and you've never released anything out of you. You weren't intended to do that. You were intended to have ministry flowing through you. Are you hearing? I don't know if this is any good or not. I hope it is. But do you understand what I'm saying? Could you eat and never release anything? Then why have we built the church for you to come and look at a man with bad hair? And you just can't get enough. Hey, don't you talk about my hair. I know I need a haircut. Now you got it on here. You're not satisfied. You don't have to just eat one day a week anymore. You can eat 24/7. You can lay down and eat sleeping, but you don't release. You weren't created to do that, sir. There's ministry in you. Do you know what causes church splits? People who sit around and they ain't done nothing but get fat and have the word, and now all they got to do is argue about the word because they ain't never put anything to use that they've heard. You were not intended anymore to come to church and listen to a man preach. See, here's the thing. I'm trying to help you change your mindset. You don't come to church to get fed. See, that's where the problem lies. The church, the leaders have caused this. Because we taught you come to get fed. But we're not supposed to bring you to feed you. We're supposed to begin to train you. My job's not to feed you. You're in the wrong church if you want me to feed you. I want to train you so you can eat when you want to. My job's not to train you. My job's not to feed you. My job's to train you to feed yourself. And see, we've built the church around a group of people because most preachers have an insecurity in their own life and they need people to tell them how great they are. So they built the whole church on meeting your needs because they've got this thing going on the inside of them where they get their satisfaction from you needing them. I get more satisfaction out of you doing it yourself than you needing me to do it. I get more satisfaction with a church that calls me and says, I just laid hands on somebody and they got out of the wheelchair. Come on, I just laid hands on a lady and she don't have high blood pressure no more. Preacher, we don't need you. We don't need you to feed us, preacher. We just need you to stoke the fire and send us out of here. We need you to cause it to flow through us. I'm about to get happy. Did you pray? Did you lay hands on anybody this week? I want you to raise your hands if you laid hands on a soul this week. What in the world are you doing? What'd you do last week? Probably sat around and ate Twinkies in the spirit. Did you do any ministry last week?
Okay, now did you hear any messages on TV or anywhere last week? Raise your hand. Did you hear preachers? Did you watch preachers? Did you read? Did you read the Bible? Did you listen to preachers? Every hand's going up, and three or four went up for ministry. So you are just gorging yourself, baby. You put it all in, but nothing came out. And then you come to the church and you get frustrated because the worship's not like you want it to be. But if you would have flowed ministry out of you, you would have came in here with a different attitude. You would have had a sense of responsibility. You would have had a sense of value. I'm trying to tell you, you're valuable. I'm trying to tell you, I could have used you yesterday when I was stapling plastic up on the wall. Well, this is just a little tiny little segment. The Lord has spoken to me about taking you and showing you what it means to build. You've got to get this revelation first. This is the first key. You're the builders. You're the body. Not me. You're it. So, as I shared once upon a time, recap for you. You have over 5,000 body parts. Folks, I want you to listen. At maturity, the estimated average number of cells in your body functioning right now is 37.2 trillion. Let just a couple not function as they should, and you're going to the doctor. 37 trillion. When I stand here, I don't care whether you think I'm ugly or what you think, there's 37 trillion cells working here, and I'm not willing for either of them to stop. But you're the same body. You're a body. What makes you think you can? You're a cell. Maybe you're a cell. It doesn't work without you. 270 bones at birth. Decreases to 206 bones by adulthood. 360 joints. That's not doobies. 360 joints. I'm sure there's some old hippies in here somewhere. 360 joints, 640 muscles. You don't see any of that happening right now. But if it's not functioning, I'm not standing here. Are you hearing what I'm trying to get you to see? You don't see these things functioning, but they're functioning. And see, we've built the church around the things that are seen, the visible components of a local church. But it's not the visible components of a local church that'll cause it to crash. It's the behind-the-scenes thing that you can't see. You can't see any of my bones right now. You can't see my skeleton. But I wouldn't be standing here without it, because that's what the meat's hanging on. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten, 11 systems in your body functioning right now. One stops, you die. Now, when I taught this before, what are those systems? That's the different branches going on in the church. That's the different aspects of a local church. You can have the best ministry and best teaching in the world, but if you don't have the outreach system in place, you're going to die. 8 people across the road. Probably not very many more. Diagonally across the road. All the systems have to be in place. And you are supposed to become connected within the body into part of one of those systems. You may be the head of one of those systems, or you just may be part of connecting into that system. But you have no right to do nothing, because we die. Every church that built it around the preacher preaching and did not equip the people to do ministry is dying. The only segment of church that's growing is the ones that are equipping people and let them get into ministry. The mark of this house is 100 ministries. You hear me? I've got a right to dream. You want to impact the city? We need 100 ministries of different kinds coming out of this place. Then, when they need to know how to get a job, they come here so somebody can show them how to do an interview. When they don't know how to do a resume, they come here. When they need food, they come here. When they need clothes, they come here. Maybe even when they need coffee, they come here. Different story for a different day. Hello? I pray you're getting this. What system are you part of? What ministry are you called to? And see, we've built the church around you coming and listening to one guy. And if you actually had a vision, it scared him.
Nah, I don't think we should do that. I don't know if they do that.
Did you hear me? What if there was, in Father's house, there was 100 different ministries happening? You know what would start to happen? The mayor would ring up the phone and say, "Hey guys, can you help me?" The city officials would begin to come to the church, which is what's supposed to be happening anyway. But they can't do it because we're waiting on the government, because we've got this entitlement mentality. There's more people putting their trust in the government than there is the church. And the church is putting its trust in the government when the church is supposed to be the government. The government shall be on your shoulders. You are the ecclesia. You are the called out ones. The representatives. The ecclesia is the law of that day. It's the Congress of that day. He didn't come to build a church. He didn't come to build a religious institution. He came to establish a government of which you're a representative. You are an ambassador. An ambassador is someone that come to a place from another place on assignment with all the authority of the place they come from. You are an ambassador. Your citizenship is in heaven. You came to heaven as a to earth as a representative of heaven to make the earth look just like heaven. Your role is to make this earth look like heaven. But you're busy sitting in a church pew. 100 ministries out of this place. Feeding people, clothing people, teaching people to go to job interviews. You fill in the blank. What are you waiting on? The greatest fear in my life is to die having not done what He placed in me to do. I shall not do it. I will not do it. I will not come to the end of my life and wish I had done anything. How about you? Are you willing to wait another year? I want you to make 2017 the year you get out of misery. Some of you people in here complain all the time. But if you would start to give and just say it's so bad, you're not doing anything for anyone else. You cannot stay miserable and do something for another human being. You can't do it. I dare you to try it. But see, you're not doing anything. And some of you have bought the lie. Well, there's nothing I can do. Well, see, this is what we talked about last week. When we get to heaven, we've all got it in our mind, because we went to church every now and then, paid our tithes, that He's going to say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." I don't believe that's true. Paul said, "I finished my course." Whether He says "well done" or not will be based on whether you finished your course. And if you never started your course, He cannot possibly say "well done" because you never got on course. Don't you wait another year. I don't care how old you are in this room. Make the rest of your life the best of your life. Get into something and begin to impact this community. Church growth. Get fog machines, light machines. No. If you've got 100 ministries going on in that local house, you've got church growth. Because when you feed the poor, your church is the one they'll come to. When you pray for the sick and they get healed, your church is the one they'll come to. But it takes a people functioning in what they're called to do. It takes a people who understand I'm a part of a body. You've got to understand, I want you to say this, the church will die without me. You better leave here today knowing that. Every time that you come to church, and the longer you sit without allowing something to flow through you, you're killing the church. The church is dying.
Hello?
Well. So you got to understand, you're not just a member, you're a particular member. Now listen. One of the dangers in what I'm telling you is 14 people are going to come and tell me next week what they want to do. And I have no problem with that. But you must understand the government of the church. You need to be equipped to do it, trained to do it. You need to submit to authority to do it. That's another topic here. You don't build without submitting to authority. Your leaders know more than you do. I got news for you on that. The Lord speaks to them in a governmental way and tells them what's wrong on the inside of you, where you need to come up. Most people don't know how to submit to authority. Authority offends people. If it offends you, you're not ready to lead yet. If authority offends you, if me telling you to do anything offends you, you're not ready for leadership. You better think about that one. If I say no and you still want to do yes, you're not ready for leadership. Because leadership is based on the understanding of authority. It's based on who he put in position. I don't care if you think you know more than they do. I don't care how much it's burning in you. The model of Scripture is to be sent, which means God speaks to a governing presbytery over a local house called eldership, and they lay hands on you and they bless your work. So yes, we want 100 ministries coming out of here, but we don't want rebels doing it. We want you submitting your life, and you come and say, yes, I feel like I'm called to this, so here's what I'm going to do. We're going to get some material. We're going to sit down. We're going to begin to mentor you in this area. We're not going to send you out half-cocked, not knowing what you're doing. The church is the worst in the world. Well, I just got desire. Well, go on. No, desire is not enough. Training is important. Jesus sent out the 12 disciples, but they spent years with him first. So all I'm trying to stir up in you today is for you to start dreaming. I ain't even got to vision yet. I'm going to show you about vision. But you've got to get one. And when you get it, you come to submit it to the authority of the house. And then you let the authority of the house begin to prepare you for it, and they release you into it. Because if you don't get released into it, you're a thief and a robber. Any ministry you do, forgive me, Jesus, that you didn't get released into, you're a thief and a robber. You don't have unauthorized authority. Oh, I need to park here for about a year. You can't just do what you want to do. It's unauthorized. You can't find it in Scripture. You got to be authorized personnel. Somebody's got to lay hands on you and recognize that and release you into it. All I'm trying to do right now is get you to start seeing what you're called to do. It's not be a couch potato. It's not to be a pew warmer. 100 ministries. And see, what we got, what we have a tendency to do is label what ministry is. There's no limit. There is no limit. There is no formula. I want you to begin to ask, what can I do, Lord? What can I do in this city? How can I bless my city? A city should be thankful for a church in its midst. I don't ever believe we will have hit the mark until the officials in our city know who we are. How are they going to know? Because we got people functioning. We got a body that's fully functioning. This world has never seen a fully functioning body of Christ. That's the mark for Father's House. That's why it's called Father's House, because we want to raise up all kinds of people that are functioning in what they're called to do. All we do is oversee it. Oh, man. I didn't get very far today. A particular member has an assignment within the body. And one thing I want you to see is this. The main thing I'm trying to get you to see is you have value. There are body parts working in me that you can't see. I want you to raise your hand if this has ever happened to you. Somebody walk up to you and say, my God, what a nice liver. Man, that's the best looking liver I've ever seen. Oh my God, look at them kidneys.
Man, I tell you what, now I'm telling you, you got the best kidneys of anybody I've ever seen. You let either one of them shut down, though. I'm trying to get you to see that it's the parts that don't seem to be up front, that don't seem to be functioning, that makes the thing tick. What's your role? It's time to build. It's time to take a city. You can't take a city without all your parts functioning. I keep going back to it. There are all kinds of people in this room that if I ask you, you'd say, I used to. Well, God never told you not to. There is no retirement in the kingdom of God. If you used to pray for the sick, then you need to get back up on the horse and pray some more. Who gave you the right to retire? Somebody needs you. There's a city to take. It's time. What a beautiful liver. You are a particular... See, I can't see his kidneys. But they're particular members of the body and you can't live without them. You may be the very one in here this morning that we can't live without. And you don't understand your value at all. You think you don't matter, but we can't live without you. Trust me, those of us who started a church from nothing, no. We can't live without you. We just stay at home and